Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan. April 30th, 2021. First round of the draft behind us. The newest member of the Washington football team, Jamin Davis, will be on the show today at 3:20. What up, Danny?
Action last night. Hot and heavy. The mystery started right at 3. The whole world thought for some reason that there was – There was misdirection. The world thought it was Mac Jones. It wasn't. Apparently, it was Trey Lance all along. Would have got away with the two if it weren't for you meddling kids. That's how it felt, man. It felt like a Scooby-Doo ending where we're sitting there going, all right, well, they're going to justify it. It's Mac Jones because Kyle Shanahan liked him and they did what Kyle Shanahan wants. No. They got their situation. Garoppolo's, they're stuck with that deal. They probably can't get rid of him without having a bad cap situation. This guy needs an internship program, talking about Lance. Shanahan is firmly entrenched. It's his way. There you have your intrigue right away, and then the draft unfolded from there. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a blast of a night. Two-screen night. Caps get a point without Ovi and Carlson. Went to overtime before losing to the Penguins, so they still remain atop the division, tied for points with a game in hand. But yeah, it was a draft night. That was the main screen last night. Before we get into all the storylines from a national perspective in the first round, kind of hop all over the league, let's talk about what Washington did for a second. Very clearly, they had no interest in trading up for a quarterback.
I mean, zero.
For all of the talk and all of the fake conversation, basically, that people were trying to lead you to believe that they wanted to trade up for a quarterback, of which I bought none of it. Last night felt really well for them to go up and get a QB if they wanted one.
Yep.
When Mac Jones didn't go 3, you know he was sliding out of the top 10 and eventually all the way to 15. If they wanted Mac Jones, they could have easily traded up into the 11 to 14 range and taken him. There were some NFC East teams in there, may or may not have traded with them. I personally, if I ran a team, wouldn't care who I'm trading with if you're giving me a nice haul, i.e. last night the Eagles and the Cowboys made a trade. Having said that, there are other teams that weren't the NFC East, like the Raiders and like the Vikings. You could have moved around the board if you wanted to. And they could have gone up further and gotten Mac Jones had they have wanted to. They elected not to. Justin Fields, Danny, fell.
Yep.
To the 11th pick outside of the top 10. And Washington, had they have wanted to go get him, could have done it. The Bears, coming from one pick behind where the football team was on the draft grid, only had to give up a 1, a 4, and a 5 to go get Fields.
Yep.
Now, I don't want to say that's nothing. It's something. But it is not a lot at all. It's actually, as far as I'm concerned, for a franchise quarterback, and they have to assume that Justin Fields is that, otherwise they wouldn't have traded up to draft him.
Precisely.
You're shopping in the bargain bin.
Yep.
That's as little as it can possibly cost to go from 20 to 11, basically split the first round in half, move up 10 picks to get a quarterback, and you gave up a late round pick, a 1 and a 4, maybe like a special teams linebacker more often than not, for Justin Fields. Washington did not want to trade up for a quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what they say in a press conference. Well, we thought about it. No, you didn't. You didn't want to trade up for a quarterback.
Yeah, and that's my frustration today. is I understand being reticent to trade up to four. If you feel like you've got to go spend, you know, a Robert Griffin package to move up and end up with the Falcons pick to get them off of Kyle Pitts, basically saying you don't get Kyle Pitts and you're not going to sit there and draft one of these quarterbacks, I understand that. That's too steep a price to pay for some people. You're not going to get me on board with not moving up one step ahead of the Patriots to do what the Jets did, who came from, again, behind Washington to move up to where the Vikings were. You're not going to get me to understand not dealing with the Chargers or otherwise to grab one of these guys. Now, here's what has to happen. Fields has to stink and Mac Jones has to stink for me to feel okay about this. So, you know, this is obviously open book here. We can write more chapters. If both those guys flame out and they're bad, egg on my face, no problem. Congrats on your linebacker that most people had ranked in the 40s. Then you're smarter than everyone else and you win. It's just hard for me to be excited about this, given it fell that way with that one scenario. We talked with Joe Theismann about it. You and I talked for a couple weeks. We both get it. I'd go into the top five because I turn over every stone for a quarterback until you have one, you're wasting your time. But you didn't have to pay the iron price. You had to pay a little bit. You had to pay, but it's not what they would have had you to go up to four or five or six.
Yeah, the only reason I would have considered it last night is because it costs way less than it traditionally would.
Right.
The way that everything fell. And it could not have gone more beneficially for you if you like Fields at all, or if you liked Mac Jones at all, for the draft to play out in the top 10 the way that it did. Just couldn't have worked out better for you to move up to get a quarterback. I'm not upset at all today. You are. You're frustrated. That's okay. I'm not. I didn't want to trade up for a quarterback. I think Mac Jones found a really nice landing spot in New England. I hope
certainly
he's
did.
Good. I think Justin Fields is going to get a chance to be the guy in Chicago sooner than not. They'll pretend like Andy Dalton's their quarterback for a few weeks. Justin Fields will be on the field by midseason this year, as far as I'm concerned. But when they decided on Ryan Fitzpatrick this year, and they did a couple of things this offseason, like lock up Brandon Scherff on a one-year extension for $18 million, they made the decision to prioritize 2021, and they kicked the can down the road on quarterback. I am going to find a quarterback next offseason, hopefully, unless they kick the can down the road again, which at that point I'll be even more upset. But as soon as they did the Fitzpatrick thing, they made a couple of the moves they made about this year. This was not a let's spend the first round pick on a quarterback of the future thing for me. If I could get Zach Wilson, yes, let's go. Mm-hmm. If I can get Trevor Lawrence, awesome. For Lance, who I just haven't seen enough of to feel good about, Mac Jones, who's got some major athletic and mobile limitations, and Fields, who inexplicably we all seem to love, and I'm a big fan of Justin Fields. The league doesn't feel the same way as everybody else.
The league doesn't feel that same way.
I didn't feel nearly as good or confident about moving up, and so I was not going to do that. Also, I know that they would prefer to solve this problem with a veteran that they can go get, a la a Matt Stafford, who they tried to trade for.
Right.
Rodgers isn't going anywhere, and the Packers doubled down on that last night, by the way. But they would prefer to go the route of the disgruntled, angry veteran. That's why they kicked the tires on Deshaun Watson before the fiasco playing out in his life in Houston. That's, I think, the preference here. And if they can't do that, then package your draft together next year and go get a quarterback in the top five. But I'm not taking the fourth quarterback in a class. I just don't have as much interest in that as you did. Specific to the pick, let's get into Jamin Davis.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this on the show. I wanted Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. Stunningly did not get drafted.
Didn't get selected, man.
I don't think there was a mock draft in America done by, I'm not talking about Hammond Eggers. I'm talking about like your Kuipers, your McShays, your Daniel Jeremiahs. I don't think a single draft expert turned in a mock where he didn't go in the first round. And almost all of them, to a man, had him going in the top 20. He's still available when round two starts tonight. So clearly his weight, being sub 220 pounds at linebacker as a tweener safety, undersized guy, is bothering teams. But they passed on him to go with Jamin Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That was my number two choice. If they're going to go linebacker, here's how I rank the linebackers in this class. Number one, Micah Parsons, ended up in Dallas after a trade back. Number two, if you're looking for a traditional linebacker, Jamin Davis. I happen to like the ball-hawking, playmaking kind of versatility and being multiple option that is provided by Owusu-Koramoa. But if you want a traditional, go make 127 tackles, come downhill and have 4.5 sacks, have 8 tackles for loss, be an inside linebacker like I had in Carolina for years who was really good. I think Davis gives them that option. So I had no problem with that. I'd like the pick just fine. They addressed a major need.
Yeah, I feel whelmed by it. And here's why. It's not necessarily that it's bad. There's a couple things. When you hear he was the number one player on our board, or the best defender on our board, I don't really care about that, to be honest with you. That's good for you. That's your evaluation. But the implication that they're somehow smarter than everyone else in an industry where there's a very low shooting percentage on this thing, that shouldn't reassure anybody.
Why do you say they're smarter than everybody else?
Well, when they had him higher than it seems like the entire industry did, right? Draft Network had him in the 40s. For people that we had on the show, Pro Football Focus had him in the 40s. Again,
was being mocked in the middle of the first round for the last week and a half, though.
Based on this buzz and based on talking to people, not necessarily evaluation. So there are guys that were ranked higher. But again, that's why I'm not sitting there going definitively he stinks or this or that. There are flags, the things that you ask questions about. One-year starter, not a particularly good coverage grade, although he showed the ability at times. There's a few things that where you go, maybe he'll turn into something, and that's great. So they got a player. They certainly did. They drafted somebody. They didn't pass on their pick. It's just it's hard for me to be like super excited about it and doing spin kicks.
Yeah, I think from a Q rating standpoint, like coming out of last night, are they selling a bunch of season tickets? No. Did they do something ultra exciting? No. But there's something to be said that a lot of the time, the less exciting your draft, maybe the better off it speaks to the position of your organization.
Right. Would a left tackle have had people throwing a parade? No, of course not.
Exactly. If they took Christian Darrisaw just because of how much run he was getting from this fan base and he went to Virginia Tech locally, I think there would have been excitement. They passed on him. He ended up going four picks later to Minnesota. Who, by the way, the Vikings they move
around.
Put on
a clinic.
They're so good at the draft. They trade back and still get one of the better tackles in the class and picked up multiple picks, including a third rounder tonight. Rick Spielman, hats off to you. I was surprised that with Owusu-Koramoah available, they didn't take him. But then when he didn't go the rest of the first round, it makes you think, okay. Occasionally, like those of us watching this thing from the outside who think one thing, the teams have just a completely different file that, you know, they obviously know more. They do this for a living. There's millions and millions of dollars at stake. But I don't know what I don't know about him. I'm surprised that he's still out there. It has to just be his size.
That's all I could think of. Because, you know,
here's what I know. I watch Notre Dame games, and that guy is all over the field and makes a ton of plays.
Like, if you don't know anything, you go, who's that guy?
Exactly.
Really quickly.
You're watching a game, and you go, who's number six? And not only that, like, it's one thing to be able to make a lot of plays in college. There's a long list of guys who are unbelievable in college who don't translate to the NFL.
Right.
The measurables are fantastic. He can run. So that's where I was enamored with him. But I think they made a safer pick by far. Like, how many of those tweener safety linebacker types, those Sua Cravens-y,
really work out?
Deon Buchanan mold players, how many of those guys do you actually hit on? For every one that is great and becomes a game changer for a defense, it feels like there's three or four. Like last year, remember, everyone loved Isaiah Simmons, including you and I.
Yeah.
Simmons had a really rough rookie season.
They kind of couldn't figure out what to do with him.
And I'm not telling you he's a bust. And I think it's too soon. But I am going to tell you he had a bad year, and he got benched a couple of times, and it was not an easy transition for him. So I think they went a little safer. You know, it's a plug-and-play linebacker. He probably play all three spots in a 43. He's going to be a human wrecking ball. He's going to make a lot of tackles. And what a landing spot if you're Jamin Davis.
Well, I was going to say, from his side of things, number one, the team already put out an awesome you can get me every time with a couple things. Military folks coming home, surprising their families. I'll watch every one, and I'll get all misty and choked up. The second thing is kid getting drafted and giving me videotape on both ends, putting it together of the call. Ron Rivera calling Jamin Davis is awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Regardless of how I feel about the pick or whelmed or over, under, whatever, it's just really, really cool. The kid's super excited. But from his perspective, I'm a linebacker coming into the NFL. Where would I like to go? You don't have to start scanning two down with your mouse too far down before you land on Washington. With Del Rio and Rivera, two guys that know the position, and just wonderment in front of you. Jamin, would you like to fly around and hit things? Welcome to Washington. You've got plenty of guys cleaning up all the garbage in front of you. You go hunt, young man. Have fun.
Yeah, you're a linebacker. This is the team you would circle on your list. I get to play for a head coach who played linebacker and a defensive coordinator who played linebacker. In Del Rio, who was a good one, and Rivera, who was a good one. On a great defense, by the way, with the Bears. But on top of that, as you said, you're talking about Daron Payne, John Allen, first rounders, Matt Ioannidis, Tim Settle, proving themselves as really good tackles, space eaters who were taking on double teams, and you just get to roam. It is a dream scenario for a guy that Mel Kiper had number 14 overall on his big board at the start of last night's draft. We talked about this yesterday. There was not a single player who I heard in the last 48 hours or so, like more people say, is rising faster than that guy.
Yeah.
Now, Ron Rivera disputed that and kind of did the age-old slash, I think it's tired, but he did the bit with the media where he's like,
just because you haven't heard of him.
Who says he's a fast riser? Just because you guys didn't know about him doesn't mean we didn't. Okay, that's true. Congratulations. You know more about football than we do. But he was a fast riser. I'm sorry. By the standards of what we consider the norm in the draft, this is a guy that a month ago people thought would probably go in the second round. Ian Rappaport had a thing at the beginning of April where there were folks at Kentucky, by the way, who thought he would be undrafted at the start of the year. And now he's going in the top 20. In no way does that bother me. I think you got a hell of a football player. If you want to know what number he's going to wear, Jamin Davis has tweeted out that he will be number 52.
52.
Which I'm happy about.
I want to wash the stink of Rocky McIntosh. The last time, the Washington, no, maybe not the last time, but one of the times that they thought they had someone and they didn't. At a linebacker spot.
Rocky McIntosh from?
Auburn?
Wrong. No. Rocky McIntosh from?
Oh, damn it. Oh, come on.
There's been a documentary about this school, some of the craziness at this school.
Baylor?
No. Rocky Mac, different kind of craziness. Okay. Rocky McIntosh from?
USC? I really don't know.
One of the letters you just said is what I'm looking for. Rocky McIntosh from?
University of Miami?
The U, my
guy. I remember that now. Yeah. I remember that now. He actually was. He was Miami. Yeah, yeah.
He was a Miami guy. A 52. And I don't know why I like that, but I'm glad it's not like 11 or 9. Like, I don't want to be a Big Ten.
You're not on
school.
Board with the new numbers?
I'm okay that people can express themselves. I'm not an old man who's mad. But I told you, I would prefer you. I'm not a college in Pennsylvania somewhere. I'm the Washington football team. I would prefer you to wear something that looks traditional and normal. So you go heat-seeking missile your way to 126 tackles. Mm-hmm. Wear number 52, my guy.
52 is Mike. 52 is Mike. Not 12 is Mike.
Jamin Davis will be on the show today at 3:20. You're going to be Rick about this. I got to ask him about being a big NASCAR guy. Apparently, he is a huge NASCAR mark.
Is he? So we got 10 minutes. That's going to be some of it?
That's going to be some of it.
Okay.
It's going to be maybe 4 minutes of it. You all right with that ratio?
I'm good, man. We just get our set of questions.
Yeah. So that is going to come up in the interview. Fear not. Jamin Davis, big NASCAR guy. All right. So that's the Washington football team breakdown of round one. Let's get into other drafty things. You alluded to San Francisco. You can't call it a smokescreen because there was no reason for them to lie to people. But everyone was wrong about what they thought San Francisco was going to do and all the rumors that were out there. Mac Jones falls to the Patriots, and he walks really funny. Justin Fields ends up in Chicago. Can he be the quarterback that finally gets it right for the Bears? And the NFC East, I thought things couldn't have gone worse last night in terms of what happened around the division.
Yep, everyone got a lot better.
I mean, it happens, right? The first round of the draft, weird. Teams got better.
Yep.
But I would have preferred those teams made other picks. They took, like, some of the guys I love the most in the entire class.
Uh-huh.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Logan Paulson breaks down NFL and college film as well or better than anybody. And I think he does the best job of anybody I've heard kind of relating it back to us. So we'll have him on at 2:40. Had him take a good look today at Jamin Davis. What does he see that he likes? What does he see that needs work? We'll also get his thoughts on what Washington should do tonight with a second-round pick and 2 third-round picks. G&D on The Fan. We'll open up the Gambit DC listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067. You want to react to the Jamin Davis selection. That's 800-636-1067. Danny, we spent a lot of time talking about what Washington did, so let's look around the NFL. Some of the huge stories last night. First, on Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that dominated the pre-draft headlines, and then it was just a non-story the rest of the night. After the draft, the GM of the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, went on record to say they are not going to trade him. He is not going anywhere. So we'll see if that actually plays out. My response to that is narrator voice. they would soon trade Aaron Rodgers. But Rodgers is allegedly telling teammates today, I'm not playing there anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. From a management perspective, you can't be like, yeah, it's a disaster. We've got no control over the situation. This is what you have to do. You got to do that. At this point, you got to say, no, he's not going anywhere. We love him. Publicly, you have to. Privately, there is a sea raging right below the surface. I mean, it is a mess, and I'm here for the drama.
This was Gutekunst last night after the draft.
Brian, I asked you in February if there was any scenario that you could see trading Aaron, and you said absolutely not at that time. Has that changed? Is there any scenario that you can see trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
He would elaborate and say more as the press conference went on, but it basically all came back to that. They have no plans on trading him, so we're at an impasse. We have seen this with Russell Wilson in Seattle. He's still there. We've seen it with Deshaun Watson in Houston, extenuating circumstances there, clearly, but he's obviously still there as well. So Rodgers says he's not going to play for the Packers, supposedly. We haven't actually heard him say anything. The Packers are saying he's not going anywhere. When the draft began, I always feel bad for the guy who goes one, and we've known for months, and in this case years, that guy was going to go one. Because even though it should be their night, it's almost like they're a forgotten man in this whole thing.
Because the hype has already happened for them.
Yeah, it's happened for 4 years at Clemson, you know, before he got there, and then when he got there, and then when he was dominant. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback out of Clemson, number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in a cool twist, I know you will hate this pick, Danny. I actually liked it for them because they got him a weapon. 24 picks later at 25, the Jags took Travis Etienne out of Clemson as well. So they immediately got an added piece and an offensive weapon for Trevor Lawrence to play with. Now, I didn't like today that Urban Meyer came out and basically said Etienne's going to be their third down back and they're still going to have Carlos Hyde getting carries. I don't believe that for 1 second. I never really believe or care what coaches say. Publicly, their actions are what matters. They had a young rookie running back last year who had a huge season.
Yeah, James Robinson was good.
I kind of get Alfred Morris vibes from James Robinson. Like a school where he wasn't supposed to be drafted high. He didn't get drafted high. Came out of nowhere. Had a big season. Carried the ball a lot. Alpha's out of the league a handful of years later. Travis Etienne's a different kind of dude. So I love it. You got a quarterback. You immediately get him a running mate. And it happens to be a guy he went to college with and is good buddies with.
You are right in the sense that I do hate that pick because they've now got three guys and they can't wait to play all three of them, I guess, in terms of running back. But
Carlos Hyde doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter to me.
10th team in, 15 months,
yeah.
I think.
Somebody's got to carry the ball 3.5 yards per carry. But, they had Robinson. He had a great season last year. Let's make sure we limit the amount of time he's going to be on the field. No linemen. Don't improve your defense. Make sure you get them another running back.
Here's what I'm a proponent of. When you get a young quarterback, do everything you can to give them a chance to thrive. One of the ways to do that is to provide them with matchup problems on offense to throw to. Etienne is that guy. He's got an Alvin Kamara skill set, in my opinion. But the Jets did the same thing at number two with Zach Wilson. They went quarterback. They also had a second pick in the first round. And in the case of the Jets, they ended up trading up to pick even higher than they were going to. And they, thank God, took Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard from USC, who I think will be a Pro Bowler. They traded up with Minnesota. I say thank God because I do think Washington might have taken him at 19 if he was there.
I know. They were saved.
Good on guard for the rest of the offseason, please, and thank you. But the Jets, Zach Wilson, and then you follow up with a guy to protect him in the interior who's supposed to be the best guard in the class.
Just love that.
They're easy to beat up normally, but a decent night if you're a Jets fan and Robert Saleh's first draft gets off to a great start.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's star, I think, in the making. He's got to be protected, so you add a guard to that mix. Remember last year they drafted Mekhi Becton in the first round. They added Corey Davis in the offseason. So all of a sudden, there's a making. The Jets aren't ready to beat anybody just yet, but now they're starting to do something instead of being incomprehensibly bad.
So why did San Francisco do what they did at three? And I don't get it. Draft Trey Lance. I guess they were just having fun laughing at everyone the whole time.
Yeah, what was the point?
Clearly, Kyle Shanahan didn't prefer Mac Jones. They would have taken Mac Jones. It's obvious that Trey Lance was his guy because that's who they took, and he's the play caller and the head coach and basically the GM. But particularly with a quarterback, what he says goes. Do you believe there's any chance, this is now what everyone like Ian Rappaport and people are saying, but I think they might be carrying some water. Do you think there's a chance that they traded up to get Mac Jones, and then they fell in love with Trey Lance after the fact as they were working him out?
No.
I don't either. I think someone either on purpose on behalf of San Francisco, for some reason I'm not really sure, or just incorrectly at some point got a bad read on something they were told and pushed this Mac Jones thing, and they had no reason to correct anybody. They just kind of had fun with it.
I can't imagine for a second giving up what they gave up, and it was a lot, by the way.
You don't just go, here's my metro fare.
Here are a couple tokens for the bus. Oh, moving up to three. This is fun.
Found this under some couch cushions.
Yeah, and you go, so who are we going to pick, guys? Anybody have any suggestions? They knew moment one, this is worth it. We have to go up and do this. You know what I mean? The order of operations doesn't tell me, I just really want to pick third. Like, I'm just so excited to pick third, and we'll see
but
who
but
we
you
like.
You could say,
no
we
way.
Need a quarterback. We like Mac Jones. If for some reason we end up liking another guy more than him, then we'll take that guy. You know, let's move up. Worst case, we get Mac Jones. Best case, Trey Lance is who we want him to be.
I guess. But to me, this is one of those, we can't possibly sit at, where they were before. Were they 11 before? I can't remember what they were.
12, I'm
12,
thinking.
Yeah. We can't possibly sit at 12 because we won't get the person that we want. We have to make a drastic action. He might go 4 to Atlanta. He might go 5 here. Someone else might supersede. We know those top two teams are locked in. We have to go up to 3, otherwise we're not going to get him.
Everyone was saying it was a smokescreen, and it just... A smoke screen would mean that you are floating something erroneously for a benefit. There was no benefit. We knew for months that Lawrence was going one, and for weeks before that trade that Wilson was going two. So they didn't have to fool anyone. They didn't have to lie. They didn't have to trick anyone. So it's not a smoke screen. It's just people got it wrong. By the way, Mac Jones, who didn't go third, sat all by himself looking sad in the green room for a while. Then did the weirdest long walk on camera. And look, that's a weird thing when someone's in front of you and now we're watching you walk. Everyone kind of walks. The gait of each person is different, a little bit probably uniquely to themselves. He walks really weird. I hope that doesn't in any way translate to him and his skill set on the football field. But Mac Jones fell to the Patriots at 15. Seems to work out for them, generally.
I'm so annoyed about it.
They just stood pat. And got one of the five best quarterbacks in the class and a guy that a lot of people for a while thought might go third overall.
Yeah, he's ready-made pro. I mean, you know, he may not be as flashy or exciting as some other guys, but you need a dude to play point guard and get everyone involved. You could do worse.
Every team that took a rookie last night, every single one to play quarterback this year, named the veteran, I mean, other than Jacksonville and New York, I should say, but of the teams that didn't take those two guys in the first two picks to be their starters. The teams that have a guy that is currently the one that's like a jaggy starter, they all named Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, their starter, and the other guy, like Jimmy Garoppolo, the other guy's just going to watch. I don't believe that Mac Jones watches Cam Newton play more games this year than Cam Newton watches Mac Jones play. I think Mac Jones, for all of his faults, to your point, is pretty close to being what he's going to be. Like, this is a guy, right. you plug him in, he'll find the open receiver, he'll drop the ball in. He's not overly athletic, not going to make plays with his feet.
Not going to embarrass you athletically, but he's not an escape artist or
no.
you know a magician in the pocket or anything.
I think he plays more games than he watches this year for
I agree
the
with
Patriots.
That. I agree with that.
Probably more, I think, just because I think Cam Newton can't throw the ball from here to the end of the studio without his arm hurting a little bit. But I could see Mac Jones getting on the field pretty quickly. NFC East last night. Eagles get Devontae Smith. Got to deal with that guy twice a year. Cowboys trade back and got Micah Parsons. That stung the nostrils.
I hated every second of that.
I was so happy when both corners went before them because all they wanted
like was
for the
Surtain.
Last
yeah.
6 months, it was either Surtain, who's going to be there, by the way, or Patrick Surtain, or J.C. Horn. Mm-hmm. One of those two guys was going to be there. And then both got taken a little bit before they were supposed to. And I
8 and 9.
That's hilarious. And then if they trade back and get a corner, it won't be as good. That's fine. They trade back and get Micah Parsons, and that really ruined my fun that I was having by just poking at them.
The Eagles landing Devontae Smith. Now, I know they're rebuilding right now at this point, but still, he's going to torment. This is terrifying to me. I think he's going to be excellent. And Parsons in Dallas. I mean, they basically were trying to find a way to get Leighton Vander Esch on the field all the time, and they went, you know what? This is too good of a defensive player to pass up. I don't know how well he fits or, you know, what they're going to do. My point here is this. That guy was too good to pass up, and they didn't have to do it at 10. They could do it at 12 while adding a pick.
Giants traded back and got Kadarius Toney.
Yep. They couldn't get Smith, so they ended up with a kind of a poor man's version.
And that's why the Eagles leapfrogged them. They knew the Giants would take Devontae Smith, so they moved up one ahead of them, took him at the back end of the top 10, and then the Giants sitting at 11 came back, and they ended up getting Kadarius Toney later in the first round, who's a water bug who you can't touch in a phone booth. So it got a lot less fun to play defense in the NFC East. But it's a good thing that Washington got a linebacker, Jamin Davis, and a good defense got better yesterday. We'll talk to Jamin Davis at 3:20. We asked Logan Paulson to break his film down. He will join us next on Grant and Danny to tell us what he thought of the pick. He's Danny, I'm Grant, you're listening to The Fan. Jamin Davis of the Washington football team will join us a little over 30 minutes. Make note, 3:20 today. Appreciate you guys being part of our little family here on The Fan. Take us with you, the Odyssey app. Hit pause, rewind if you miss anything. Right now, let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show. Longtime tight end here in Washington and a decade-long NFLer, Logan Paulson, breaks down the film on players better than anybody, and I just love talking ball with him, and a treat to get him on G&D. What's up, Logan? How you been, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Good, pal.
Doing good. Now, you're going to be helping anchor our draft coverage tonight and tomorrow, so excited to hear you breaking a bunch of these players down, but we have asked you to take a long look at the film of Jamin Davis. What do you think of the pick at number 19?
You know, I think a lot of people were probably surprised by the pick. You know, he's kind of come out of obscurity in a lot of ways. And, you know, I personally love the pick. I think he is kind of the perfect linebacker of 2021 in the sense, right? He can cover, he can tackle, he can shed blocks. He's got some good length, some good physicality to his game. I think, you know, they played Florida this year. He's covering Kyle Pitts in a one-on-one situation. You know, he steps up on the run and then is able with his speed and athleticism to open his hips and run down a guy who runs a legitimate 4-4. So that's the kind of linebacker you want. I get a lot of, like, Lavonte David vibes from his tape. And there are, you know, that's, like, very high praise. You know, like, that he's kind of the standard for the modern NFL linebacker. And I think Jamin Davis has a lot of those qualities. And you see why Ron Rivera said that he was the number one defensive player on their board. Again, not a huge name. I don't think a lot of people are familiar with him, but I think a great pick. I think he's going to make this defense a lot better.
Logan, why did some have him lower than that? It sounds like Washington, you're right. I mean, they were bullish about the player and the pick, and it sounds like some were, but some folks weren't. What's kind of the other side of the coin there?
So I think the NFL draft, man, is a little bit of a dog and pony show, right? So there's certain guys that get hot at the right time of year. And I think one of the things about Jamin Davis's tape is that Kentucky was not a very good defense, right? They really challenged him to do a lot of different things. And so you see him on tape and he shows up, but a lot of the stuff he does really well doesn't show up on a stat sheet, right? So if you're just kind of going through the stat sheet for 2020, it wouldn't look demonstrative. I mean, he had 110 tackles or 110 tackles plus, which is a big number and a great number. And he graded out of this world in all PFF metrics. But I do think, like, the thing that he really excels at is coverage. And that's not going to show up unless you're grinding the tape and you're watching them. And he's not from a big program. And then I think what happened is he had that fantastic pro day where he ran, you know, I think it was like a sub 4.4 or 4.4. He had a 42-inch vertical. It's the highest vertical ever recorded by an off-the-ball linebacker. He ran a tremendous on all the agility drills, great broad jump. And so you say, wow, this guy's got some really explosive, twitchy characteristics. Let me revisit that tape. And so his process started later because they had a pro day that was later than everybody else's. So I think he started getting steam off of that. And then, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal if his pro day, if the tape didn't support it. The tape does support it. And you say, wow, they've got a game-changing athlete at the position who's going to make this defense a lot better. Now they can get three legitimate athletes on the field at the same time, which is super exciting at the linebacker spot.
Would you have rather had him over Owusu-Koramoah, who a lot of fans were hoping was going to get picked?
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit tomato-tomato. So for me personally, you know, I was big on Jeremiah, and I thought he was a really good player. The thing that kind of hurt him, in my opinion, is his measurables. When he did his pro day, he measured in at 6'1". I thought he was a little bit bigger than that, 200, 215 pounds, a little bit smaller. So if you want a pure linebacker, I think Jamin is the call, right? I think he fits what you want to do. 6'4", 235, 237, big body, runs well. Jeremiah's kind of, he fell into a tweener category more after his pro day, I thought. And if you look at the history of the NFL with the guys like Simmons from Clemson last year, tweeners don't often find a role very quickly in the NFL. It takes a couple of years, right? Does he play safety? Does he play linebacker? Is he only playing in sub packages? And you really challenge the coaching staff to find a role for the guy. With James, you don't have to do that. He can play on first and second down. He can play on third down. He can play in sub packages. He could be your blitz guy. He can cover whatever you need him to do. He has the skill set to do it, and you're not scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and find him a spot in the same way that I think you would have been doing that with JOK. And that's not an indictment of JOK. His tape's outstanding. He's a hell of a football player. He's going to be a good football player for some team. Maybe the Washington football team is still available right now. But I think that that kind of defined role and the flexibility that Jamin gives the team without having to kind of step outside their comfort zone is huge. And I think that's one of the reasons that he kind of shot up the Washington football team's draft board.
Logan, what do you got tonight? Kind of what do you have circled? What are you looking for? And what do you think they're going to do and should do?
Yeah, so I think, I've had eye on tackle the whole time. Obviously, they passed on Darashaw last night, which I think was slightly surprising. I really knew they liked Jamin, and I thought they were going to go that direction. So not totally surprised, but I thought they might take Darashaw if he was available. So obviously I'm going to keep an eye out for tackle. I think Lucas did a great job last year for the Washington football team, but I think his ideal role is a swing tackle. So if you could find a starter at left tackle, I think that would be awesome. I'm also keeping an eye out for tight end, safety. Morag from TCU is still available, and he has some really outstanding tape. Reminds me a little bit of a more athletic Cameron Curl. So, I think there's a good defensive talent in this draft. And then obviously I think, they could do with another receiver or a nickel cornerback. So that's kind of what I'm keeping my eye on today. But I do think this is a really deep draft at all of those spots. So I wouldn't be surprised if, maybe the tackle they liked is a guy they pick up in the fourth round. There's a kid out of Eastern Carolina who's rated in the fourth round, but I think he'd be a starting left tackle. You know what I mean? So depends on how they evaluate talent and how they're feeling, but those are the positions I'm kind of keeping my eye on, especially if there's a run on one of those positions tonight.
Logie, we only have about a minute here, but I'm wondering if you had a favorite pick last night in the first round value and maybe a pick that made you scratch your head a little bit.
Well, obviously my favorite pick is Kyle Pitts because he is the unicorn of all unicorns, and I think any team would have been lucky to have him. He can beat your number one wideout. He can block a defensive end, line up in the slot, line up outside, line up in the line of scrimmage. He can pull as a tight end, connoisseur of the position. That's the guy that I like the most, and I'm the happiest that, Atlanta picked him at four. In terms of head-scratchers, J.C. Horn was kind of a weird one to me. Not because I don't think J.C. Horn's a good player, but just because I thought J.C. Horn could have been available in the kind of 20 to 32 range of the draft, and I thought he was the second best corner. And so for a team, also Carolina, I thought the fit was kind of funny. Carolina runs a lot of zone. J.C. Horn's a man corner through and through. Just thought that was kind of an odd fit. Obviously they evaluated him at a really high level and his tape's good. I just thought they could have got a different, more value there at a different position potentially.
Logan, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the coverage this weekend, man. And thanks for hopping on with us, bud.
Thanks for having me, man.
Appreciate it.
Be well. Listen to Logan Paulson all weekend long on 106.7 The Fan. As he breaks the draft down, he's just so good. I think he's awesome at talking ball. And I'll be honest, a lot of times you don't go back and search, but I'll say that I've been talking draft prospects with him for at least two, if not 3 years. He's got a pretty good batting average from what I can tell.
Yeah.
On guys that he really liked and said, this is the thing I think this dude can do, to the point where I've sent a couple texts and been like, to people I know in football and been like, hey, this dude really knows what he's talking about.
I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but that guy notices things about players, and he seems to be correct when he says them.
Like, listen to this segment. Jamin Davis of the Washington football team at 3:20 today right here on Grant and Danny. Next, your reactions to last night. Washington got a linebacker. Maybe not the one you were anticipating, but one that Logan Paulson thinks is going to be a star. Love the Levante David comp. What'd you make of that, and what do you want to see them do tonight? That is next. Grant and Danny, right here on 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.